Let's turn in our Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth of the four Gospels. And we're going to go to chapter 10, and I am going to start reading at verse 25. I might say 27 in the bulletin, but I'm going to start reading at verse 25. I hear pages turning. That's a good sign. I see people looking in their Bibles. That's a great sign. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read 25 through 30. God's Word says this, "Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" Let's pray. Father, what great, great words of reassurance for us believers. Father, sometimes I feel like if that's the only portion of Scripture I've ever read, that would be enough. But Lord, here this morning, you have me standing in front of your people. And Father, I need to speak here this morning with authority, to speak with boldness, and most of all, to speak with truth. And that's only going to come from the Holy Spirit that you send my way and you have speaking through me. So Father, I decrease and I just ask that every word that comes out of my mouth here this morning will be exactly what you want me to say here this morning. And I trust you. And Father, if there's anything that I shouldn't be saying here this morning, you still my tongue, so I keep silent, that I do not speak out of turn. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the fourth week of our sermon series that I have titled, Walking in Confidence. And our focus is on Romans 8:28. And we are dissecting that one verse so we can get a firm grasp on the truth and the promise that this verse offers so we could all walk in confidence as Christians and in our Christian faith. I feel like it's very important that we walk like we have victory in Jesus. Too often, Christians do not. Well, let's see if Romans 8:28 can continue to boost our faith and give us a little more determination in our Christian walk. Last week, we summed up our first 3 weeks in this sermon series by comparing Romans 8:28 with an equation. And we said this, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things," so let's start off with all things, "and all things were both good and bad," all things, "God works," so we have this over here, all things, "God is going to work all things," and this, all things, no matter if the situations are good and bad, God's going to work them. Remember, He is the one that's on the throne in the supreme sovereign authority over His creation. And that will equal, when you mix those two together, it's going to equal for the good, all things, God works for the good. Because He is conforming us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. As I concluded last week, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could realize that every encounter that we have in our life is for our spiritual good. It's for our spiritual good. And I know that sometimes we don't see that at the time. But if we knew that, if we really understood that promise, how would we approach different situations when they occur in our life, either good situations or bad situations, knowing that for a fact that God is going to use that situation for our good, to conform us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ? That would be wonderful. I know that that's probably a goal that's probably unattainable, but it would be nice if we could realize that this is happening because God wants to do this over here. That leads us to our first fill in the blank, and I apologize because this one and only fill in the blank in our bulletins this morning really is more part of last week's message than this week's message, but I want to make sure that we get this clear. And that fill in the blank would say this: we must realize that the spiritual for the good, and this is the goal over here, that the for the good may not be immediate and we may not recognize it. Those are the two words. Immediate, it may not be immediate and we may not recognize it. It may not be immediate, and I think I touched on this a little bit last week. We certainly live in a microwave society, and regardless of what happens over here, we do want to see immediate results. And quite often, immediate results are not going to happen. Although sometime later, maybe the next day, maybe the next year, maybe 10 years down the road, we see the good that has come out of these things that have happened over here. And we may not recognize it. We may not recognize it. Maybe God is doing some spiritual good in us, and we want to see that tangible result. We want to see that God did this and God did that. But it may be something that only God recognizes that has been done in us. But we must remember this. It is the promise of God, so we must walk in confidence with that promise. And just an aside right there, I'm going to take a total tangent from this message. I know that there is a wasp flying around in here this morning. So if I see you going like this, I'll just pretend like you're saying, "Amen, Mike, amen." So I hope that wasp makes it to the end of the service. I'm just kidding. So here's today's question. Let's move on to week number four. Here's today's question. The promise of Romans 8:28, and it is a great promise. Who is it for? Who is the promise for? Is it for everyone? No. I'll answer that question for you. The promise of Romans 8:28 is not for everyone. The promise of 8:28 is only for those who, and we can read that verse, the promise of Romans 8:20 is only for those who love God and those who have been called according to His purpose. So if we go to Romans 8:28, let me read that one verse to you again. We read it kind of as a church last week, and it says this, and again, I read the NIV translation, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who," and here's the criteria, "of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose." So this verse does not, and the promise of this verse does not apply to everybody. It only applies to believers. So let's look at those two. "Who love God" describes the recipients of the promise from the human perspective. So when we look at it from a human perspective, it's those who love God, and we would understand that. But it also says this, "who have been called according to His purpose." "Who have been called" describes the recipients of the promise from God's perspective. And we touched on that last week. So often we only look at things from one perspective, and that is ours. Sometimes we need to look at the promises of God from God's perspective. And I can tell you and assure you here this morning, they are the same group of people. They are all believers. They are Christians. You cannot be one, you cannot have one of those without having both of those. If you love God, then you have been called according to His purpose. If you have been called according to His purpose, then you love God. Today, from Romans 8:28, we're going to look at who have been called according to His purpose. We're just going to look at that segment of it. And next week, we'll talk about those who love Him, because I really couldn't get them both in with one sermon here today. So today we're going to talk about who have been called according to His purpose. And today's going to be a little refresher course in divine election, one of my favorite topics. Romans 8:28 uses the words, have been called, to those who have been called. Now, let's go to our grammar school English class. Have been called in the English language is what they call a perfect participle. Now, come on, let's be honest here. Who remembers their English and would have said, oh, I knew that that was a perfect participle? I didn't either, okay? I didn't either until I read some commentary and it said that it was a perfect participle. The form of the verb is a perfect participle. But this is very interesting because in the English language, a perfect participle indicates completed action. Completed action. So in the biblical sense, so let's look at that from the biblical sense. In the biblical sense, the Christian has been called, which means our calling is a completed action. That means our calling applies to all Christians of the past, all Christians today, and that completed action is to all the Christians in the future. Their calling is complete. A great example of this, of have been called, meaning a completed action, would be from Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to go there and just read one verse. Jeremiah, Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God's word says this. Actually, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 from Jeremiah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. There's a ton of great theology in that one verse. And just as God knew Jeremiah before he was in his mother's womb, so the Lord also knew you and me as believers before we were in our mother's womb. Your calling as a believer was a completed action before your parents ever thought about you. Paul backs up his case of this completed action with verses 29 and 30 back in Romans chapter 8. In those verses, there are five events in the salvation process of a believer, and Paul covers those here in verses 29 and 30. And I'll go through those rather quickly, and then we'll talk about them. It says, let me read those two verses. It says this, starting in verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, He also called. There's that word called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Let me just sum up those five steps for you real quick. God foreknew that person. And foreknowing means that they were chosen beforehand. You as a believer were chosen beforehand. He predestined that person. That means it was decided by God beforehand. He called that person, and that word called there is a similar word to what we read in John chapter 6, verse 44, when Jesus says, all that the Father draws to me will come to me. Draws. And in verse chapter 6, verse 65, he says, you can't come to me unless the Father has enabled you. Similar to the word called as we read here. He justified that person. Justifies means He declares you righteous. He declared you and I as believers righteous, as sinless before Him. And then the fifth one, He glorified that person, which means to honor, to praise that person. The interesting part about glorified, and I got to tell you this, glorification does not happen until we die. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was in a glorified body, we call that. It was called the glorification. Did you know that there will be a day when you and I, as believers, are going to have glorified bodies? And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I sure hope it's one that's in better shape than the one that I'm in right now. And I'm pretty sure it will be. But the interesting part about the verb that he uses here, being a completed action, a perfect participle, he says at the end of verse 30, he also glorified. Past tense. Past tense. You are already glorified. Past tense. It hasn't happened yet. But the promise is this. It will. It will happen. All five of those actions are in the perfect participle, so they are all completed actions. The foreknowing is a completed action. The predestination is a completed action. The calling is a completed action. The justifying is a completed action. And the glorification is a completed action, even though on this side of eternity it hasn't happened. Folks, it is a done deal. You are His. The action is completed. Is that good news or what? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, a verse very similar to the promise here. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion. He started it, He's going to work it, and He's going to see it all the way through until we are glorified. My friends, if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what does. You are already called, predestined, justified, glorified. It's as if your ticket's already been written and He's handed it to you. You are His. That is good news. And I realize that many will say, but Mike, I made a decision for Christ. I understand that. And they will say that they heard the call and they accepted the invitation. And I understand that. But the Bible says this, you accepted the invitation because you were called. Not the other way around. You didn't hear the call and then accept the invitation. You accepted the invitation because you were called. In his book, Before the Face of God, R.C. Sproul says this, and I quote, "Paul speaks not of an external call to the gospel, but of the inward call of the Holy Spirit. In theology, we term this the effectual calling. No one will love God unless God first changes the disposition of the heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. The capacity to love God is not natural to fallen humanity, but must be supernaturally granted by the Father, who takes the initiative in restoring us to Himself. The regenerative work of God must precede the act of repentance and faith. Only by the divine initiative is anyone saved." I know there are people who struggle with the doctrine of divine election. I understand that. I did too for many, many years. The doctrine of election, in case you're not familiar, says this. By definition, says that God, uninfluenced and before creation, predetermined certain people to be saved. That's what the definition says. But if you don't buy into it at some point in time, you're going to have a very difficult time explaining Romans 8:28 and Romans 8:29 and Romans 8:30 and all the way through the end of Romans chapter 8 and all of Romans chapter 9 also. Because these verses just won't make any sense if you have what we call the Arminian belief system. And the bad part about that is this. If you have trouble explaining those verses, then you're going to have trouble believing in those verses. You're going to have trouble believing the promise of what the promise says and what the promise has already delivered. And here's what ties all this together about those who have been called. It is something we talked about last week, and it's stuck right there in the middle of verse 29. And it's God's purpose for us to be predestined. And it says right here in verse 29, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined." Why? "To be conformed to the likeness of His Son." That is His purpose in our predestination and being called and being justified and being glorified. As we spoke about last week, is to conform you and I into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And as we concluded that last week, that all things that God is working has to work out for the good, because that's His promise. Now, let's tie in what we read back in John chapter 10 with Romans 8:28. And I'm going to read, go back to John chapter 10. Actually, I'm going to read three extra verses. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4 and then read verses 27 through 30 in the Gospel of John. And you'll be able to see how so nicely all this fits together. Starting in verse 2 through verse 4, this is Jesus talking. He says this, "The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Let's shift over to verse 27, staying in chapter 10. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let me just conclude here this morning by keeping this very, very simple. We are the sheep, and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Amen? I think we all understand that. We follow Christ only because Christ first knew us, and we are His, and He has a claim on us. We listen to His voice only because Christ first knew us, and we are His, and He has a claim on us. And the Good Shepherd, it says right here in John, that He gives us eternal life. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody in here who deserves eternal life? Would they please stand right now? Good. Good. Certainly does not include me. It's a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "We are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God, and not by works, so that no one can boast." He gives us eternal life. Not only that, He says this, "We shall never perish." We can never be snatched away from the hand of God. Of Christ, and we can never be snatched away from the hand of the Father. Does that sound something like Romans 8 that says, "Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Does it sound something like that if God is for us, who can be against us? Does that sound something like that we are more than conquerors in all things through Christ who saved us? Let me tell you this, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to start walking in confidence with the salvation that God has freely given us. Too often, I'm sure we all encounter Christians who act like they are absolutely defeated. But what does God's Word say? Have we ever taken the time to read the promises and know what the promises say? That if He foreknew me, He predestined me, and He called me, and He justified me, and He's also glorified me. Past tense. It's going to happen. Praise God, it's going to happen. That's because I'm in His hand, and no one can snatch me out of the hand of Christ or out of the hand of the Father. That's eternal security. What if we just knew that, understood that, and walked in that confidence? Maybe today is the day that we start walking a little more confidently in our Christian faith, because maybe today we understand a little more of the promise that nothing can separate us. And it says here in Romans chapter 28, verse 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friends, we are signed, sealed, and delivered. And we're His. And we need to walk that way with a little more confidence out there in this world than what we walked before we came in here this morning. God is working all things for our good. He's molding us into Christ. And why is He doing that? Because we have been called according to His purpose. The first question I want to ask Jesus when I meet Him, why me? Let's go to God in prayer.